This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 239. Forever and ever and ever.
I get it.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to yet another episode of our weekly podcast.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing? Panda, how was your week?
It was pretty good.
You know, I usually ask everyone, you know, how they're doing, but I don't always ask you how was your
week. I know, and I sit right here.
I know, we talk to each other. It's like we're known to each other, and yet I don't ask, so I'm asking. How was your week?
It was a good week. It was a good week.
Have you recovered completely from PAX?
I think so.
Were you able to escape PAX without contracting the plague?
I got exhausted the next Monday. Because, I mean, I only took 2 days off for work. And I was like, you know, I should probably take it off 3 to give myself the full, 24-hour recoup sleep in. I mean, I took it anyway, but I probably should have just, eaten that in terms of vacation. But I did not get the nerd flu or the nerd plague.
That's good. That's good. I, too, was able to escape the nerd plague. I will actually credit that to not touching a lot of people.
Oh, I touched a lot of people, but I just didn't...
I mean, I touched them in their hearts, but I didn't physically...
touch people and then put my hands in my mouth.
Well, that's good.
Or
that's
in my
good.
Eye.
That's good. Or on food that you then put in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
And or eye. So we actually escaped unscathed. For those still suffering late cases of the PAX East plague, our hearts and minds are with you. So we hope
I would send chicken soup, but I don't know exactly which one of yous is really sick.
Did you say which one of yous?
Yeah.
What's a yous?
Multiples of you.
Oh, okay. Multiples of me would be pretty freaking awesome, actually. But what you will find that there are multiple of is postings on our website. See, look, I made that segue. I made it happen.
Yeah, see,
I made it possible.
Yeah.
All I had to do was be like, I can work these words together into a sentence. And that sentence will end you up at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is...
ESH.co. That's ESH.co. The short address will bounce you to the long one. Check out the articles that are written every week. If you have any questions about those articles, or even just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes. Go to us. Subscribe. It's free.
Yes, it is free. And what that subscription in iTunes basically ensures is that you get episodes of our podcast the moment that we put them out on the interwebs. As long as I don't make any typos, then it'll take a couple more minutes before it actually is available properly. But it will be there, and it will be waiting for your enjoyment every single Monday. So go ahead and do that subscription to ensure that you don't miss a moment of our podcast. Trust me, you don't want to.
I mean, if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But also be looking out for the other shows that are underneath our banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. And so with our episodes going out every single Monday, you can follow that up with an episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast where they talk about games and pop culture stuff. So movies, TVs, theaters, plays, sports, pretty much most of the stuff that we don't actually get around to talking about.
That we don't get around to it. It's just, well, one, I mean, let's be dead honest. I mean, I'm not 100% crazy on sports. Half of them I don't remember the rules.
Yes,
I mean,
that's
in baseball,
true.
Is there a touchdown? No, I'm just kidding, guys. I'm not that dumb.
Touchdown! He took a base. Score, home team.
Oh my god, there's a fight on the ice. Oh my god,
somebody should call his mother.
We should all incorporate all the sports into one sport. I don't know what that would be named, but I'll think about it.
Murder ball.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, could you imagine like the hockey fights in a football game with like a baseball type scoring system? Like, that would be basically a game of who in the hell is the last man standing?
If any.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Like, could you imagine the hockey sticks to the head?
It'd be like that game from Dead Rising 2, TIR, Terror is Reality. Yeah, that game was essentially just murder.
Yeah, that's basically what that game would be.
Murder!
Like, there would be no league, because nobody would go into the game, because everyone would die.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty much what would have to happen.
Exactly.
And that's not what we're about.
But regardless, they're really great for all the stuff that we may not talk about in extensiveness.
Right, because that's just not our thing.
Right.
Or, again, we just haven't gotten around to doing it. Like, I like movies.
But if you want a little bit
of a different perspective, then make sure that you check out BostonBassBrigade.com with their new shows on Tuesday. And to cover the rest of your nerd needs, like gadgets and whatnot, well, then there's Geek Aggro with new episodes of their podcast on Wednesday. So right there, we got your nerd covered, Tom. Dang, getting you through the rest of the week. So all the stuff that we write on our respective websites, which you can find conveniently located at LandOfEsh.com. That aggregates all of our websites that make up the Land of Esh, as well as giving you the ability to cop a new issue of the Electric Sisterhood magazine, which is total fire. And I gotta tell you right now, people, you want to make sure that you get on top of that, because that's good stuff. So you should read it, like, seriously.
Please do. I think you wouldn't be disappointed.
I know you wouldn't be disappointed.
She knows, and I've got doubts.
It's total awesome sauce.
Might not be the flavor of awesome sauce that they like.
There's only one flavor of awesome sauce, and that is kick-ass.
I thought it was awesome.
No, it's kick-ass awesome sauce.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the full name.
Okay.
Everyone just calls it awesome sauce because there's only one flavor of it, so you might as well just call it awesome sauce.
Right.
But it's actually kick-ass is the flavor. Obviously, we don't live under rocks. We are citizens of the world. We're not just in it. And everything that's going on in Japan right now is definitely very, very scary. It's also very...
real? Shit got really real.
I mean, it's very Japan. Real. It is a horrible situation to have such a tremendous earthquake that created so much devastation in its wake.
And those cores that they've just kind of stabilized.
They've stabilized two. As of this recording, they've stabilized two out of six, which is, you know, phenomenally great. And we hope and continue to send warm thoughts and well wishes to everyone affected, not only in Japan, but here as well, you know, with some radiation spikes showing up in the Chicago O'Hare airport and some residual weather things that have been happening in California. There's a lot of devastation going around, and we are definitely aware of it. So if you have the ability, there are lots of great charities and organizations that are stepping up right now to try and lend some aid and support to Japan, including the American Red Cross. We'll have as many organizations that I can find. I'll include links to what they're doing right now to help support efforts over there, and if you have the ability. We know that times are tough, but gamers always seem to rise to the challenge of trying to do something to help lend a hand whenever they can.
Just think about the great moral achievement you'll unlock.
I couldn't have said it any better than that. So if you can lend a hand, we would really appreciate you doing so, as well would a lot of other people. So with that said, we thought that as a little kind of nod in support of Japan, as many things are shutting down and closing down as far as production goes because of the tragedy, that we would do an all anime episode.
Okay.
To kick it off, I went on an anime bender for every free moment that I had this week, kind of running through some things that I had seen, things that I hadn't seen, anything that was a short run I took a look at, and I came down to a couple, one of which I had already mentioned a couple of episodes ago when Zeno joined us, called Koriwa Zombie no Desuka, which basically translates into, like, is this a zombie or am I a zombie?
That's the one with the awkward cross-dressing zombie.
Correct. So basically, right now, if you have a Crunchyroll account, you can actually watch this because it's currently...
The paid one or the free one?
If you have the free one, you can watch the first couple of episodes. Basically, the difference between the free and the paid is that for the paid folks, an episode is made available within 24 hours after it airs in Japan, or if it's airing in the UK, because that's where they're getting most of their stuff. And then for the non-paid, you got to wait a week.
Okay.
So kind of like the Netflix thing.
Right, got it. Like with SNL.
Exactly.
Right, mm-hmm. The Hulu Plus. Got it.
Yep. So the content's all there. It's just when you get access to it is the difference between the paid and the free. And then, obviously, ads, if you're looking at the app, whether or not you have to sit through little ads popping up at the bottom of the screen or not. So I highly recommend it if you're an anime fan, just because there's a lot of anime there that you probably wouldn't be able to see.
Procure here.
Right, because it probably is not going to get distributed here. It is not going to air on Funimation's channel.
No.
You know, that kind of thing. But what I liked about Korewa Zombie Desuka is that it pokes fun at itself. And at the same time, every so often has a very serious or very strong emotional piece. But the main thing about this anime is that it's just fun. Okay, it is a harem anime, which, you know, in all honesty, is pretty much my shit. Like, I've always been attracted to harem anime, starting from Tenchi Muyo and then that's moving more, on.
Well, no, that's actually a regular harem. So, mm-hmm. Do you like regular harems or reversed harems better?
I like regular harems. You would think that me being a female, I'd be like, yeah, I like it when a girl has a bunch of guys. But I really haven't found one of those that I was just like, yes, that's it. That's got the formula. I love this.
Why haven't I brought down Fushigi Yugi for you yet?
I have no idea.
A reversed harem, but it's actually really good. I mean, it's long, because remember, this came out around the time where, you know, anime.
Dude, I have no problem with length. Okay, length is a good thing. I'm all for the length.
Thanks.
Okay, sis. Hey, you know, I'm just trying to be.
So.
Truth speak!
And believe it or not, like, out of the reverse harems that I have watch that I really liked. I mean, like Ouran High School.
Haven't watched
Close Club. That's a reverse harem, which is actually
it's on really, my instant queue.
You need to watch it. It's actually really good. I think you'd really enjoy it.
Well, it's in my instant
queue. And the anime style is really refreshing for the time it was released. But all right, so you like regular harems. I mean, Tenchi Muyo, yeah, but you grew up on that, though.
Well, I didn't grow up on it. I mean, because I was...
The only reason why I came into anime is because you liked anime. So my appreciation for it came from you watching it back when I was young.
The only reason why I started watching anime is because it's what we did on Sundays with Mom. Remember, Sci-Fi used to run a block of anime on Sunday.
Yep, and then we'd watch Land of the Lost.
Yep.
And then wrestling.
Yep.
At noon.
Yep. It was anime block, and then Land of the Lost, and then
the WWE.
Coco Beware, still the shit. I'm just saying. Anyway, so the lead character is named Ayumu Ayakawa, and he basically was killed by a serial killer. There's a really, really weird serial killer going around the town that Ayumu lives in, and he or she, whatever, is just killing all kinds of people. And Ayumu, on his way home, before he was killed, had run into this girl with purple hair who was wearing armor sitting outside of a convenience store. And she was just really quiet and just looking inside the store, and he could kind of got the feeling that she wanted something, but she didn't have the ability to get it. So he went in, and he came out with some food, and they just sat really quietly together outside of the convenience store. And then when it was time for him to go home, he got up, and he patted her on the head, and then he went home, and then he was killed. He was stabbed and was dying. And as he was dying, he saw the purple-headed girl on top of him, and then the next morning he woke up and he thought it was a dream and she was still there. And the purple-headed girl, her name is actually Euclid Hellscythe, and she is basically death. She is ridiculously magically powerful, and she's come up from the underworld to try and keep her emotions under wraps, because whenever she says something, her words have so much power that whatever she says happens, which is why she doesn't speak. She tries not to show any emotion, because if she gets too happy, the weather changes dramatically and typically in bad ways. It's like if she laughs, it causes earthquakes, you know, terribly destructive ones. So she tries desperately to not get attached to people, to not talk to people.
But she ends up turning Ayamu into
a zombie.
The living dead.
Yep.
So he does this kindness to her, feeds her, gets killed, and she does him a favor by restoring life,
yes,
sort of, even though she is the embodiment of death.
Right. She brings it back as a zombie and basically says, you're now going to be my protector. And because I've made you a zombie, you now have the ability to use strength that is typically beyond the realm of what humans can do. And so you can still kind of sort of continue on with your life. Zombies can't go out in the sun because they actually dry up and you can actually see them, like, you know, looking like a corpse or whatever. So he has to use a parasol, but he continues to go to school. And he continues to act like nothing's wrong and still do some things with his friends.
Oh, I'm allergic to the sun, so I can't be out in the sun.
Right, so I can't sit out, you know, on the road near the windows in school and, you know, things like that. And so he continues on with his life and his friends and, you know, trying to do the school thing. But things keep popping up that he has to deal with. So while he's sitting at school, this kind of spirit thing shows up that basically looks like a lobster in a trench coat.
Mr. Lobster.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of weird, and he doesn't know why, and so he leaves. He's tracking it down, and Hellscythe, which a lot of people refer to her as Hellscythe Dono, because she is, you know, kind of royalty and you know, carries herself that way, but not in a condescending way. It's like, no, you've got to track this thing down because it's very dangerous and it's going to hurt people and it's going to take their souls and things like that. So he tracks it down to the cemetery, goes to the cemetery, and there's a chick there who is, you know, obviously it's anime, so she's supposed to be at least 17, but she looks like she's 9, okay? And like this pink glowing thing
with a
big-ass pink chainsaw that lights up with her name on the blade. And is trying to take this thing out, and it's just not working. And so she's like, well, I'm sorry, human. I don't know why you're here, but I'm going to have to go through you in order to kill this thing. And so she literally jams her chainsaw through Ayumu to get to this spirit. And he's like, but don't worry, your death will not be in vain, because you will have saved people. And he's like, I'm not dead. And she's like, whoa, you should be, because you're cut in half. He's like, yeah, but I'm not dead. Can you just fling my lower half over here so I could, like, assemble myself? And so he puts himself together, and she's like, I don't understand how you could survive like that, human, but I can't have any witnesses, so you're going to have to die. And he's like, I'm not a human. I'm a zombie. I'm trying to tell you that. And so she goes to, like, wipe his memory, and for whatever reason, her powers transfer over to...
Because he's an empty vessel, so it's like filling him.
Basically. And so this Masu Shoujo is what it is. Basically a magical girl.
Yes.
She loses her powers, so her outfit flies off of her, and she ends up naked in the cemetery. So he gives her a shirt after she kicks him, like, over, repeatedly, and it's basically just showing her noonie to him over and over and over again. And the camera angle is from that angle, so you're just like, okay, well, here's the slapstick piece of this already. But it's funny.
Right.
And so the episodes continue like this, and as you go on, other girls join the harem. So first one to come in is Hellscythe Dono. The next one to come in is this character.
The Masa Shoujo.
Yeah, which right now her name is escaping me, but it's Haruna. Then Seraphim, who is a vampire ninja.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she glitter in the sunlight?
No. But she can go out in the sunlight. And they're basically the vampire ninja clans are basically ninja clans that, you know, are made up of vampires. And there's two. And Seraphim is one, and she basically hates Ayumu. She can't stand him. She always refers to him as a piece of shit. Like, that's how she greets him. She doesn't call him Ayumu. She just calls him, you lowly piece of shit.
Because she wants him.
I don't think so. She actually really kind of sort of hates him.
Yeah,
she really
now.
Wants Hellscythe. Like, bad, actually. Which is kind of funny. It's obvious. But she uses a wind and leaf technique and is always talking about how it's the most amazing technique ever. And then you have Maelstrom, who her name is broken up into two pieces, Mael and Strom. And the Vampire Ninja Clan has all kinds of rules and traditions that they absolutely uphold no matter what. And one of them is whoever you get your first kiss from, you're married to that person in the moment that you have that kiss, which is, and the kiss does constitute, actually drinking the blood of somebody else.
Like the person that you kiss or just somebody random, third person?
Anybody. So you can't, like, if you drink the blood of somebody else, a human or another vampire, because they don't really drink blood to sustain themselves unless they've had, like, bad injuries. That constitutes a kiss if you do it cross-gender. And so that means you're married. So, like, Sarah gets really, really hurt bad at one point in time. And Ayumu offers up his blood. She's like, no, I'll never drink your blood. And instead, she ends up drinking Haruna's blood in, like, this really kind of kinky thing where it's, like, all slow motion. And, you know, Haruna's like, ah! And then she, like, opens up her neck, and then Sarah's like, it won't hurt, I promise. And she starts, like, drinking blood from her neck, and Hellscythe Donna's drinking tea, watching. And she's like, that's kind of weird.
It'd be funny if
but also kind of
showed up
funny.
With popcorn. Like, hey, I know you're watching this, so here.
Well, he eventually walks in, and he's just like, and, like, turns red, and blood starts flooding through his nose.
Even though he's a zombie and
undead. Yeah, even though he's a, you know, he's the undead. So he's not living, but he's not dead, he's just undead.
Got it.
And that's one of the
Wouldn't that be unlive, though? Because he's not living because he's dead.
Well, I mean, then that really depends on what is your definition of living. I mean, because he's going to school, he's eating and cooking food.
Right.
He's got friends and family in his house.
He probably has a Facebook.
I'm sure he actually is on Facebook.
Totally zombieing it up tonight.
Checked in at the Quickie Mart.
Yeah.
But what's very interesting about the whole series is that it balances the slapstick with a little bit of seriousness, with a little bit of emotional stuff very well. And so it makes it a really fun series to watch. Whereas, you know, some, I think, harem animes series tend to do a little bit of the slapstick, but then very quickly zero in on, okay, but now that we've got your attention, this is what we absolutely want to push, so we're just going to focus on this one emotion for the next 8 episodes.
Ugh.
And then that's where they lose me.
Yeah, sorry.
Korewa Zombie Desuka really balances throughout all the episodes that I've watched, and I think I'm up to, like, 10 now, so we're just coming to, like, the main pivot point of the first arc, has really, in every single episode, balanced the fun to emotional to serious piece, you know? There's always a point where they realize that, even though they fight with each other, it's more of a playful fight thing, and they really do respect each other's abilities, and they count on each other to get through whatever situation
whatever
is coming up.
Whatever boss fight they have to have.
You know, like, at one point, Hellscythe goes missing, and Haruna and Sarah, they always call her Sarah, Seraphim, Sarah and Ayumu have, like, a quick heart-to-heart, even though Haruna is a little jealous because, by accident, and it's actually Haruna's fault because she bumps him, Ayumu ends up tackling and kissing Maelstrom, who's, as far as her character drawing goes, looks even younger than Haruna. And so Ayumu ends up being married to Maelstrom. And she refuses to give up. And she's like, no, we're married. And, you know, I'll find a way to come to love you. And so she, like, starts making his lunches. And she transfers over to his school, even though she's in a different vampire ninja clan than Sarah. And they're actually supposed to be fighting, but they get along because Maelstrom is married to Ayumu. He's like, no, we could just be friends. We're not married. And later on, there's an episode where it turns out that Maelstrom is actually the keeper of a very, very powerful power. And it starts going out of control, and it looks like she's going to blow up and take most of the area with her. And Ayumu drops his weapon because everyone's like, you just gotta kill her in order to take control of it. You just gotta kill her. He's like, I'm not gonna do it. And so he fights his way through, like, getting his knees blown off and all that kind of stuff, and finally crawls up and just wraps his arms around her. And she's like, no, you've gotta run away. I'm gonna blow up. He's like, well, then we'll go together. You're my friend. I'm not leaving you. I need you. And then all of a sudden, the thing goes and calms down.
So she,
and doesn't blow up.
So the power was like her lust, respect, and...
It basically was just her anger and lust her, and hormones. Just literally going out of control. And
at the end, she was a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. It was basically the worst PMS ever.
Ever.
Ever. And it was stopped by a hug. Not chocolate.
Hey, hugs. Hugs.
Hugs, not drugs. The world.
Hugs and not drugs.
Hugs are actually...
PCP, not for me.
Yeah. That PCP is not for anyone. But hugs are pretty awesome. Hugs are for everybody. Except for Hitler. So, I highly recommend it. If you don't have Crunchyroll, hopefully, it will be licensed, I think, by... I think ADV actually has dibs on it. But I'd have to double check. It's really fun. I highly recommend it. If you need a laugh, you can definitely find it in this series. I mean, there's so many hijinks. You know, poor Ayumu, because he ended up taking over Haruna's powers, whenever he invokes them, he ends up dressed up like, super magical girl. And so his outfit is this pretty pink bowed dress thing. And he does the whole transformation video where he goes, it's very Sailor Moonish, where his skin pigment goes away and it's all kind of like starry,
yeah,
blue lasery thing, while his outfit starts wrapping itself around his body. And then he does the whole like head back and arched back thing while the ribbons tie around his shoes, and then his bow pops out and he's like, ah, and he does the pose. And then his pose, again, because it's just funny, he actually ends up taking over the chainsaw, and instead of saying Haruna's name on it, it glows Ayumu down the blade, and he's like, vroom, vroom. And just like, that is so funny on so many levels. On so many levels.
And they show panty shots when he...
They do show panty shots when he's in the outfit.
It's a trap.
It is a trap, because it's not what you think is in there. But I love that they do that, you know, that they don't avoid it. They're like, no, this is how we're going to poke fun at ourselves. We're going to be honest about it. This is what we do. But guess what? It's a dude in those striped panda panties. Ha ha!
No.
Yes.
And you put a panda on it.
Yeah, there was one episode where they were pandas. And then there was one episode where they were striped.
Oh.
And then, you know, sometimes he'll release more power, and so then the outfit will morph. And then at one point in time, they're really getting, like, clobbered. And so, basically, you find out who the serial killer was, and actually confront the serial killer.
Who killed Ayumu?
Yep. And a lot of other people, and there, Sarah and Ayumu and Haruna just don't have enough power to take this person out, and so Health Scythe Dono actually...
Is this person of a magical entity, or is this person...
Yeah, it's a magical type entity, and nobody really realized it, though.
Right. I'm gonna say, because if it's just a normal person, you know, shot with a magic chainsaw would have done it.
Yep. And so Health Scythe Dono actually takes over the... chainsaw, and it's the first time she speaks out loud in the series, and she says the incantation to become the magical girl. So she already has on this plate armor that she's wearing with purple hair, and then she puts on the pink outfit, and it says Hell Scythe down the blade, and then all of a sudden she starts taking off the armor, and then Sarah's like, oh no, this must be really bad. And everyone's like, why? It's like, because she wears that armor to weigh herself down and to keep herself heavy so she doesn't let her emotions get out of the way. And it actually contains some of her power. She's basically throwing off all of her releases. And they just go ape. And then she, like, corners this person on top of the hill. And she actually starts speaking the word die. And so, because she says it, the being keeps falling. But they've stolen so many souls and so many lives, they keep getting back up. So she just ends up, like, crying and repeatedly screaming, die, 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 die. It's you can tell it's really hard for her. And Ayumu knows that it's really hard for her, and he's trying to get to the top of this hill. And she's crying and screaming, die, die, die. And she's, like, slicing this chick with the thing. And so there's, like, blood everywhere and tears. And Ayumu's like, no! And he's just like, oh my God, this is a really poignant time. And then, you know, they get through it, and then, you know, Sarah makes some joke about him being an asshole again. You know, it's very funny. So I highly recommend it. I really enjoy it, and I would say that it is definitely worth a watch. So that's the first one that was on my list. Then I ran through a couple of things that I really hadn't watched ever before. So I spent a lot of time on Pandalicious's favorite thing, Netflix.
Yep, I love Netflix.
I checked out Xenosaga, which I'd played the game. I never finished the game, so I'm going to make that disclaimer now. And I have to say that the anime kind of left me wishing that I'd finished the game just so I could really do an honest comparison, because I really didn't feel like there was much special about the anime. Like, it really, pretty much, I felt like I was watching Vandred.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's in space, and there's combining robots at one point.
Yeah, but are the two planets one of all dudes and one of all females?
Well, there's a planet that people are trying to get to, because it is a planet where people who have merged with cyborgs all live. So basically, there's a technology, it's a Raelian thing, where people have implants to help prolong their lives, or if they've lost a limb or anything like that. But there are some people who are really just androids, full-on Raelian, and there are different, you know, series of them. But
Ghost in the Shell!
But Raelians do have free will. To what extent they exercise it is a different thing.
Okay.
And so there were some people who, actual people, human beings, who ended up through one war and some other situations going on, adopting this technology and having the majority of their bodies replaced. And as such, they were rejected by humankind once that war was over. So they ended up living on this one planet, and there was a guy, a scientist there, who was trying to develop, like, the perfect humanoid that would have a soul, that would not, you know, be an android computing the
existence. Like Spike existence. From Buffy.
Yeah, like Spike from Buffy, but in space. And it ends up being, like, this space little girl robot. With souls. And there's, like, you know, 100 series, there's 99 of these series before he gets it right, and, you know, so some of them kind of resent it, and then there's this other thing with, like, this key in space that's supposed to open up, like, this portal. And
the Dumpty Key and the Humpty Lock?
Something like that, but not exactly. And so there's just so much going on, and then in the middle of it is the main story that has this robot who was built to basically help defeat these, best way to describe them is space whales. Like, they jump out of hyperspace, and they're transparent unless you hit them with this special beam that makes them solid so that you can actually fire and kill them. But they look like space humpback whales.
Have we talked about this before? Because I remember, I think I was having a brief discussion about these
space whales?
Oh, no, I think you were talking about Last Exile.
Yeah, that
and
that,
there was yep. some type of
Yeah, there was a space whale. There was a space whale in Last Exile. But there's space whales in Xenosaga, and they come running out at like 30,000
well,
at a time.
They swim.
Well, yeah, they space swim out, and then you're like, okay, somebody's got to hit him with the Halcyon beam, or whatever the fuck it's called. It begins with the H. The hybrid beam, or whatever, so that they will be take up physical space, so they can actually be hit with lasers. Because otherwise, they can't be hit with lasers, and they just grab people, and they absorb them, and they turn them into nothing.
Whoa, those are very powerful whales.
They're very powerful space whales. And some of them look like space monkeys. Because they're, like, big and hunched over, and they have, like, little tails. But they, yes. So there's space whales, and there's space monkeys, and they're pretty much fucking up humankind. Okay?
Well, I'm sure the space whales are kind of mad because their ancestors that were on Earth were slaughtered for
probably.
Lipstick.
Probably.
So they're taking out
Same
vengeance.
Same thing with the space monkeys and the space octopi. I get it.
They're wreaking revenge.
So, there's that, and then there's, like, this other entire story with the main chick who has been developing the main... She's not really Raelian. I'm not exactly sure really what Cosmos is, but you have the main character, Shion, who hasn't had the best life to begin with. Her parents were killed when she was very, very little, and so she had a traumatic break.
They've been taking tips from Disney.
I think so. So both her parents died, and she walked home and actually saw them, like, blow the hell up. So she had a psychotic break there. But she on, you know, has, you know, brown hair. She wears glasses, very big glasses. She
oh my has God, really I'm big eyes. A Lady Uncomplex coming on
she's,
here.
She's very brilliant. She works for this big society who designs all the tech, basically, that's used by humankind in space. And she's developed Cosmos, who is really a really, really specialized Raelian. This amazing android thing. However, during her first run, there were some problems, and they kind of allude to it. They don't really spell out what happened. But basically, Cosmos killed Shion's boyfriend, husband, fiancé. They were...
Friend with benefits, yeah. Significant other thing.
And Shion ended up blowing off Cosmos's head to stop her. And then had to go back and rebuild her and try to figure out what's going on. So Shion lost her parents.
So they build Cosmo. Cosmos Witnuts killed her Shion's significant other. And she had to go and blow Cosmos' head off. Yep. Only to rebuild it and figure out why she shot her significant other in the first place.
Yep, and then relaunch her so that she... Because she was built to help them beat the space whales. So there was no point. She had to rebuild this thing so that they could take on the space whales. Because space whales are fucking up space for everybody.
Apparently, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so you with me?
Yeah, all right. I got it.
So, you have that going on, and in the middle of all of it, you have Shion, who is, you know, both terrified and pissed off, but also enamored with Cosmos, and basically just as... Shion's about to be killed because the space whales have actually infiltrated the space base that they're on. Cosmos actually activates herself, which they're still kind of trying to figure out. Every once in a while, they try to figure out how she did that.
Because her on button's in her vagina. Oh, wait, that's Chobits.
That's
Chobits.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But she activates herself and pretty much takes out the entire fleet of space whales that were there. To save Shion. And basically, she's like, no, Shion, my primary thing is to save you, and then to, you know, not have as many casualties as possible. But sometimes saving you means that there has to be casualties. And so, like, every time that Cosmos goes out and starts, like, fighting, Shion has these flashes of her killing her beloved and flips out. It was like, no, Cosmos, don't do it! Meanwhile, Cosmos is actually saving her ass and everybody else's ass. And then she'll come back kind of bitchy, because, you know, she is a robot, and she'll be like, Shion, I don't understand why you're trying to make it like I have emotions. I don't. My primary thing is to keep you safe above all things, and then, you know, try to not kill things above that. And so she's like, well, you know, there's no such thing as acceptable casualties. And she's like, actually, there really are, and these are what they are. And so, you know, as long as my orders don't conflict, then we don't have a problem. And then Shion's like, well, what happens when your orders do conflict? She's like, I, above all else, Shion, blah, 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 must stay safe at all costs. And so Shion's desperately trying to, like, help Cosmos have a soul.
Right.
And be more like a person. Meanwhile, Cosmos is just like, my fucking hand turns into a sword or a cannon whenever I need it to. Like, let me do my job and blow some shit up.
It's like, isn't it that, like, in most series, whether live action or animated, with robots, the law of the robots?
It reminds me of, remember that series Small Wonder? With Vicky the robot?
Yes.
And the dad was always trying to make Vicky like a person?
Yes.
That's basically what Zero Saga is. The anime is basically Shion trying to make Cosmos a person.
Have we not learned that just it doesn't work?
Like, I guess not.
It just can't work?
I guess not. So, I'll put it like this. Where Korewa Zombie Desuka is definitely worth a buy. And if you're in the anime harem series, period, wouldn't suck as a rental. Xenosaga is kind of like, if you have Netflix and you've watched every other anime thing that Netflix lists
in its catalog. Including Princess.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
I would watch Xenosaga before Princess.
But you did, though, in this.
It's just how life worked out. Knowing what I know now, I would totally have watched Xenosaga. And not Princess. But it basically, it's Small Wonder with space whales.
Space whales.
Space whales. And space octopi. Yeah, space octopi.
I don't like octopus that are octopi that are in the water.
Yeah, they're space. And you can't they're orange. And you space. Can, well, so they're wait, more like they're, space so, squid, really, because so they don't have eight legs, the tentacle thingies. They only have like a couple, so it's more like space squid.
So there's
so you have space whales, space squid, and space monkeys.
And the only ones that are, like, invisible are the whales?
No, they're all invisible until they get hit with the halcyon beam.
And then they turn into bright colors like orange, because, you know, you zap it, and then, oh!
No, you zap it, and then it basically goes from, like, being transparent to being non-transparent, and then that's when you know that the lasers will actually hit them.
But, oh, and it's orange, so it's a squid.
Yeah, so that's the space squid. The space monkeys are kind of, like, beige, and the space whales are deep blue.
Yeah.
That's Xenosaga. The anime series.
Mm-hmm.
Space Whales.
Do you fight space whales in the video game?
I don't know. I didn't finish the video game.
Maybe at the very end of it, you see a space
because it was like a PS1 game. I never finished it.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's some old school shit for your ass. So that's just like the tip of the iceberg of some of the anime I've watched. I'll have some more throughout the week that I'll be sharing with you, including my first thoughts on D. Gray Man, which I started watching. I never watched it before.
It's good. So, a lot of my friends who are still really knee-deep in their animes swear by it.
Yeah, so D. Gray Man is on the list, and so I've started running through it. And then there's also, I've started running through Monster, which I think... I was going to
touch briefly on. You've actually seen it. I saw it back when I was still in school.
And Monster's, like, huge, because it's on Hulu, it's not on Netflix yet, but I was looking, and there's, like, 72 episodes. Yeah, it's a really big series.
Watching it in the anime club that I was running back when I was at Salem State University.
Back in the day!
And,
when you was getting your edumacations on.
Before I got my degree, and someone had brought it in. I used to do a lottery at my anime. Like, right. Everyone's name was in a hat, and I would pull out a name, and the next week, that person would have a whole hour slot. And at the end of that hour slot, if it was something that everyone really, really liked, it became part of the natural lineup. And believe it or not, Monster was one of the exceptions where, after we watched the first two episodes, people really wanted to see where this series was going to go. I think its initial run over here was back in 2000... I want to say its initial run was back in 2005. It made it over here to the U.S. I think Funimation was airing it for a time there. Really late night segments, I think, because the story itself is really deep. And also definitely something you have to brace for and be willing to accept that, you know, somebody will create a universe that is really just kind of dark and gritty and downright sad and torturous, which exactly is what Monster embodies. Pretty much you have this doctor, and, his name is Tenma, and he's young, and he's got all this stuff going for him. He's got a promotion lining up at the hospital that he's at. You know, life seems to be really great, and he's one of those doctors who's really doing his job to help people. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not, oh, I can do this to get money, oh, you know.
He doesn't have a god complex.
No. We're apparently in a lot of doctor series, there's always one or two doctors who are like, I am God, no one can defy me until somebody goes and dies, and they, like, pump their heart with their hand and bring them back.
Wow, that's just kind of visceral.
Yeah. Actually, I saw that in, I don't remember what it was called. I think it was an anime series with wrestlers where this wrestler had been a doctor and he learned how to, like, tweak his body, and, like, this guy had a heart attack during the middle of a match and he literally, like, stabbed his hand into this dude's chest and manually pumped this guy's heart back into existence. It was kind of, yeah.
What the fuck are you watching?
It was like on Cartoon Network at like 2 in the morning.
What?
A long time ago. It was really disturbing. And after I saw that episode, I was like, yeah, no.
Cartoon Network?
Yeah, at night back when they had, yeah. Was it Cartoon Network? Or which one ever had the anime block in it? Wasn't it Cartoon Network at night they had?
Yeah, the Adult Swim block. Yeah, they moved the anime eventually.
Yeah, way back in the day they had it on late at night.
Back when they ran anime.
But, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and then after a while, they just kept running the same ones.
Yep.
And then none at all. But, anyway, so like I said, Tenma had a lot of things going on, you know, and this promotion, he was looking forward to this promotion, and this one night, these two patients came in. One was this really wealthy politician, you know, who, you know, having connections with this person would have been really beneficial not only to Tenma, but to the hospital, in terms of, you know, money, revenue, you know, supplies and stuff like that. And this young boy
with his sister, who was kind of, you know, in a type of shock, more or less, who had no money whatsoever to pay for any treatment. And Tenma took the decision to help this boy over the politician. I do believe the politician dies, and the whole hospital is like, why the hell would you do that? You know, you help these street urchins who have nothing, and this rich guy who could have done really great things for this hospital dies on our slab. You know, you're a pariah in this institution, and we can't have that. So obviously he loses his promotion over a decision that, you know, I think any person who wanted to do the right thing would do. You know, so later on down the road, you know, you find out that, you know, these two children that, you know, he saves, their parents are gone, you know, and they really don't have anything else to go on or live from. And all these little pieces start coming together where all these deaths of really popular professional doctors are being slaughtered and murdered. And, you know, you find out that this boy, Johan, I think is what his name is killing them. And he kind of killed his parents. And his
not kinda. He killed them.
He killed them, underlined, italicized. he killed them. And his sister tried to take it upon herself to try to kill him, which led them to the, you know, hospital. You find out that Johan's kind. No, he's not kinda. He's a psychopath.
Thank you. I was gonna say
he's psychopath, not kinda. Sociopath. So I mean, he doesn't have this he's remorse.
He's a psychosociopath.
Yeah, and he doesn't have this remorse over everything that he's doing because he believes that his reasoning is sound, and that's
absolute.
That. Yeah, and that's pretty that. Much. You know, and Tenma is like, I've saved this monster's life, and look what he's done over the monster that, you know, it's really funny that who you think is the monster isn't the monster. Like,
yeah, because everyone thinks that there's like some random, you know, psychopathic killer out there, and it turns out to be this little, you know, very boy. Very innocent looking young boy. And you know, the episode's really traumatic because, you know, first you see this family who is basically, you know, requested sanctuary in this country because of wars and stuff that are going on in their own country, because you see them on the news and everyone's like, oh, that's so great that they're here and they're going to be put up in this house until they can figure out where they're going
to
go.
I'd be surprised if Johan had something to do. I won't go
into
that.
There. Don't go there.
I won't do
okay,
that.
But
regardless.
Then the next scene is like this traumatic thing with like the parents' brains blown out the back of their head. Like, it's very, very,
oh yeah,
very detailed.
They want to bring you into real town really fast, and they definitely do it.
And I have to say, I kind of lost my shit the moment that I like saw the girl, the sister, because she's literally like in a state of panic, and she's drawn so well. Even though it's not as highly detailed a drawing as like a Clamp thing, it's right. A different animation style. It's a more simplistic style, but because of that, it makes people, I think, look more realistic.
Which is, as I a think, person. I think that was their goal for this story.
And so the look, the expression that's on her face, actually conveys the emotion of just panic. You know, that shell shock look. And then you look down and it's like, you know, the body of a little boy. And you could actually see the brain, like, hanging out the back of the head and blood. And you're
sadly,
just like,
she didn't, you know.
Yeah, she didn't actually accomplish.
She didn't
accomplish,
yeah, her goal. But like I said, I mean, it's really funny because, you know, when these two people came in at the exact same time with life-threatening injuries, Johan thought, Tenma thought he was making the right decision. Because, I mean, this politician obviously had his hands in some stuff that wasn't necessarily...
Yeah, like, he had a crisis of conscience, yeah. As he was walking down the hallway between the room that had the little boy...
In it.
With the doctor who, the last time he took over one of his patients, they died.
Yeah.
Heading towards this, you know, mayor's, you know, stroke thing.
So, I mean, it really... It's really, really surprising because, you know, I think anyone in that circumstance would be like, you know, this politician has probably put his hands in, you know, into illegal manners to keep the power. I mean, power sometimes does leave, you know, open for judgments that may not be very overly looked at and, you know, viewed as positives. Right. Over this young child whose life hasn't even really started yet, so we don't know what he'd become. And it's really funny that in this instance... Tenma might have probably lived a much better life if he had let this little boy...
Well, there would definitely be some people who would have lived
and not gone through so much pain and anguish if he had let this little boy die, which I think this anime is really about consequences of your actions. And Temma realizes this later on when he finally realizes that, you know, Jahan is really this monster that needs to be stopped. And he kept him alive, so he feels it is his duty and his responsibility to end him. And throughout this series, the 72-episode series, you see Temma trade his life of prestige from being an honored doctor to becoming a trained assassin for the sole purpose of taking down Jahan. And I think at one point he does try to reunite with Johan's sister later on in the series, and I don't think that ended very well. I only managed to get through, I think we got through 60 episodes at the anime club before I graduated, so I didn't even get to see it all before I left.
Well, the last 12 are on Hulu Plus, because the whole thing is on Hulu Plus.
So, I mean, I might have to go and get back onto the Hulu Plus. But I mean,
or you could just come down here, we could have anime night.
So, I mean, it's dark. Like, oh, yeah, like it's literally, dark. Literally, you want to come...
It's, like, really dark.
You want to go into your living room with candles, flashlights, a comfy blanket, maybe a stuffed animal,
and do you have snacks. A safety animal?
Because you should definitely invest in one.
My name's my Hello Kitty, but she's not there right now.
But, I mean, it's definitely eye-opening. And the fact that this is all done in animation, could you imagine this story if it had been told through live action?
It'd be Dexter.
I don't think it'd be nearly as charming as Dexter. Dexter is slightly charming, but remember, I'm a criminal justice major, so
right.
It's got that weird, kooky appeal to me. I don't think anyone else would see.
As far as the visual and the visceral and the actions happening.
Yeah, when they mix the blood and sex, I like
okay, it would be Dexter.
Okay. Maybe.
It would be Dexter with a bit of Sherlock Holmes, the BBC one.
Okay, I was about to say, because the Jude
yeah,
Law...
No, not the movie one. The Sherlock Holmes from the BBC series.
Okay. So anyway, I mean, this is definitely polar from what Ninja was talking about earlier.
Not hugs and kisses and slapstick.
Absolutely not. There might be a couple of really good jokes, but they're very sophisticated jokes. And if you're not paying attention, they'll glaze right over you.
This
and you
is not Beyblade.
No. No, it's absolutely not.
Not Beyblade.
I mean, if you like anime series that will definitely generate a lot of thought and a lot of opinion.
Yeah.
And some cringes.
There are definitely moments in Monster where
Would I tell you to go through leaps and bounds to obcure, you know, to obtain this? No. I think this is one of those anime series that has to make its way to you. Kind of like The Ring, but without the promise of death in 7 days. Kind of.
Okay.
Like, if someone's like, hey, I've got this whole series, I think you'd like it, then I would say yes. Watch it, and then return it.
Yeah.
Or pass it on.
Yeah. I would say right now, if you has the Hulus,
watch it.
Watch
put it in
Hulus.
Your experience bank.
Yep.
And then move on to something a little lighter.
Yeah.
To cleanse the mind
like
palette.
Anything lighter. Like, at that point, I'd be like, you probably should watch, what's that one with the eggs? Shugachara.
Yeah, Shugachara.
Yeah, that's the appropriate anime to watch after Monster.
Or Lucky Star, even. You can go Lucky Star,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, or Lucky Star. Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. And I mean, my anime likes really range. I'm a very eclectic, I sometimes don't even like to use the word otaku, but I will. And I'm the old cranky kind. I really am.
Get off my lawn!
I want animes to be a particular way, kind of the way that they were when I was growing up, because there was a lot more depth
to them.
Of
course, everything was better when you were growing up. That's pretty much how things work. As you get older in life, the XYZ thing was so much better when you were growing up than what it turned into now. Case in point, MTV.
Skins.
Skins.
Remember when
MTV played music videos
at 6 a.m.
all day long?
Oh my god. And you're always like, oh my god, did you see that new video? Now you're like, oh, Vivo on YouTube has videos of all the... Like, I'm like, why don't they just put them on TV?
Remember when they used to do that? Hey, remember when MTV2 used to play videos all day long?
Do you remember that weird karaoke, Say What Karaoke on MTV?
Oh my god, Dave Holmes was so awesome. I miss you, Dave Holmes. I know you're doing things and whatever, because I follow you on the Twitters. If you don't follow Dave Holmes on the Twitter, you're doing yourself a disservice.
All right, then I should do that.
Yeah, you should.
But anyway.
Fucking love Dave Holmes.
I mean, I would definitely classify myself as an older otaku, where I really wish they would go back to their original formats with animes. I mean, length has never been a real issue. A lot of my favorite animes
it's have been. It's not about length, people.
No, but I'm just saying, a lot of people are like, oh man, I like these depth. I like these two arc, two season animes. And I'm like, yeah, they're like they're palate cleansers to me because I'm you know, back in my day where I used to go to Suncoast every 2 weeks to get the new VHS.
Yeah, what's up?
That had like four episodes on it. Yeah. You know, and I could sit through 52 episodes because Fushigi Yugi is 52 episodes. I mean, but now you've got animes that have so much filler and they have like over 100 episodes.
Yeah, I can't stand the filler. Sometimes like, Bleach kills it for me.
It's with something, the filler. Some things are not meant to be that long.
Okay, they're just
they keep drawing things in hopes that they'll find something that they can make a point, a plot on.
See, I thought that Code Geass was great.
How long was that?
I think it's only 26.
So I mean, and if it can be done in 26, then so be it. If you haven't enriched enough
story, because there's no filler. It's just straight story from beginning to end. It's one of the ones that Esh Mom likes because it's straight story. And she will watch it dubbed. That's the thing right there for anime. If Esh Mom will watch it subbed, not dubbed.
Yeah, because
yeah. If she'll come back and say, okay, it's time to put on my anime, and it's a subbed one, then the story's good enough that she actually
she's is willing the time to read to the screen. Read. Yeah,
and that doesn't happen very often. I think the last one that happened with was Chevalier Dayan, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I had to randomly go back to scenes though on that every once in a while with her because she's like, I didn't catch all those words. I'm like, look at the picture, Mom. I'm like, we see homunculi. I see a sword swinging. Obviously, they're kind of fighting. So I mean, there really isn't a lot of talking. There's probably a lot
of grunts. Did you have to explain the skull thing to her? I was just wondering.
And then she was like, why is he wearing a dress and acting like... I'm like, oh, Mom. It's like, well, he's not really acting. He's actually kind of two different people in the same vest.
It's very simple. His sister possesses him every once in a while. Wow. Because she has some unfinished business. It's very simple.
Yeah, but at the very end of that series, though, where he decides he's going to live his life as her... Well, then it's just him wanting to be a girl. Him feeling more comfortable in a feminine skin than, you know, granted his whole life as, you know, him didn't end off
really well. It didn't really work
for him. So why not get married, pop out a couple of, not necessarily pop any kids. But still. Right. Yes. But, I mean, if you have a good enough story that you can get it done in two arcs, that's fine. But there are some stories that are just naturally longer that need a little bit more attention
than 26 arcs. As long as they don't have filler. That's where I draw the line. Like, if you need 52 episodes to tell the story because it's deep and it's rich and there's that much story there, then absolutely do it.
Well, I mean,
but if 26 of those episodes are going to be filler episodes that have absolutely nothing to do with the story, like, why does Khan from Bleach get, like, a whole six... episode arc as like a fake superhero
marketing?
Okay, marketing. In the 300 area episode
marketing.
Like, seriously,
marketing.
Like, I was sitting there
marketing.
I hit episode 315. Plushies
marketing.
But he's doing it as Ichigo when he's in Ichigo's body, so it's not even a cone plushy thing.
It doesn't matter because then they'll see Khan and be like, oh my god, you remember that whole arc that he had where he was? It's marketing.
Karakura Man or whatever, and you're just like, what the?
It's all marketing.
Like, I just finished watching the episode where you actually fucking beat Aizen. You took, like, 36 fucking episodes. Sorry. I'm getting upset.
But I mean, and I
know... I hate fillers!
I know I keep going back to Fushigi, but I actually think it had a really great... I do.
And it's like me and Evangelion.
It's got a great premise, though, because, I mean, the thing about Fushigi was it did take a lot of their folklore into account. I mean, they go back into their you know, history of their gods. I mean, it has some religious, you know, significance with the corners and all of that stuff. So, I mean, they had to do a lot of research on that. They had to make sure that, you know, the parts that they were telling that were parts of history or parts of their religious text were accurate, you know, enough that people would understand that and then see where the difference between actual, knowledgeable information and appealing entertainment in terms of the animation came in. So, I mean, there was a lot of thought in the series. Now, granted, there's a lot of slapstick, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, there's three corners, fire, water, earth, and air. Yeah, I get that, blah, blah. No, there's so much more, because, I mean, their cardinal directions have even more depth to them than that.
So, I mean, they had to make sure that you understood those. Then you had to go back into their actual history, because I think one of the initial priestesses was back in a totally different time than the two that you see in Fushigi-Yugi. So they go over the span of several decades in this series. And they do it all in 52 episodes. Where in Bleach, we're still in probably, the span of what? I want to say 4 years? Maybe five?
Yeah, because I just watched episode, 311.
Are they out of Soul Society yet?
Okay, so we've been out of Soul Society. We've gone back. Then Soul Society was about to get blown up because Aizen wasn't dead, but he actually wanted to blow everything up because he was the one that killed everybody and everything. So we've already saved
Soul Society a couple times.
Princess. Then we actually went to the underworld where all of the
are those half hollow reaper things hang out?
Yeah.
The Arrancar.
Yeah, the Arrancar, and there were 13 of them that were badasses. So we've run through all of them, including the one that kinda sorta had a thing for Inoue, and who Inoue actually kinda sorta had a thing for too for half a minute.
Didn't he kidnap her?
Yeah. And he's basically I don't care about you at all, and treated her like shit, and so she kinda fell for him. You know, because
getting slapped in the face means I love you.
Bad puppy.
But I love you. Don't pee on the rug. I love you.
But anyway. So then, wait, no. You started this now, so now you gotta finish it. So then we went through that. Then we killed most of the badass Arrancar, and we learned kind of some of their stories. Yeah. Suifong lost an arm and a leg. Well, part of a leg.
Can this person hover?
She can fly because she's a soul reaper, but...
Well, then she doesn't really need the arm and leg. That was just,
But she was an assassin, and it was her stabby arm, so she's gotta fuck now.
Now she just gotta learn to stab with
it turns arm. Out that Ichigo's dad was a soul reaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Him in hat and sandals.
Yeah.
Ukiyora.
Yeah, so... Urahara. Yeah, so then he's, stuck in the passway between... the real world and Soul Society, but the sweeper thing got killed, so nobody gets rushed out of there, so he trains for, 3 days, which ends up being, 400 years, and he comes out...
Wow, that's a really better space chamber than the one that... the time chamber that you had in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it works out pretty well.
An hour is a year. What? Whoa.
Yeah, so you basically... he's in it for 3 days, he trains for, 300 years... he comes out and he's all, badass, and he's got, a new, even newer Soul Reaper outfit on, and, learns, this ultimate technique, his hair is longer, and then he goes to a point where, he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna use my ultimate technique now, and I'm gonna kill you, because, obviously, you're going insane with this Hogyoku thing, and so, Aizen's like, look, when I move my arm, the fucking mountain trembles, and he's like, actually, no, that was me, and I didn't even have to move to make the mountain tremble, and Aizen's like, nuh-uh, and so... Ichigo's like, watch! And so basically he kicks his ass. And he uses this ultimate technique where his hair turned black and his fucking sword thingy.
His bankai?
No, that's one form of it.
Right.
But Zanpakuto, thank you. Merges with his arm. So his whole entire arm becomes his Zanpakuto, and then his hair becomes long and black. And,
didn't his Bankai dude kind of have long black hair and...
Yeah, it's even longer. It's, almost down to his butt. It looks like...
Alucard? Just kidding.
He's kind of hot like that, though. And he only has the pants, so he's, ripped up top. And, he basically kills him.
Well,
basically.
No.
And the Hokuku, rejects Aizen and turns him into a cross. And then they drop him, into prison for evers and 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 evers.
I get it.
But because using this power... Ichigo is now getting to the point where he's going to start losing his Soul Reaper ability and eventually lose all of his soul power and just be a regular human. So he's kind of bumming about that.
But isn't
that.
He already kind of a half hollow? So wouldn't that mean that he would just become human hollow? Wouldn't he have the ability to... Wouldn't he just get sucked into being a hollow?
I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's bullshit, but they're getting ready to start a new arc. But instead of starting New York, we now have this whole thing with Khan, running around being a hero.
I mean, why don't we... Oh, I don't know. Further explain all the shit that has just happened?
Oh, no, we can't do that, because this is Bleach.
But I'm just saying. I mean, in the terms of Fushigi-Yugi, you have several decades in 52 episodes. I don't think we've even spanned a decade in Bleach.
I don't think that we've spanned a year in Bleach.
No, no,
these fuckers are still in the same grade in high school.
So, I mean, but do you see where the where my issue is?
I do.
There's length where there really shouldn't be any in terms of Bleach.
And no depth where there really needs to be some.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm very an old school otaku, because, I mean, at least back in the day, if something was long, it had a soul, there was a reason for it. There was a lot of history, there was a lot of research involved, and now it's just, well, we have these really cool characters.
It was long and deep, it wasn't just long.
Yeah. And now we've just got long.
Yep.
With no purpose.
Long cat is long.
We need keyboard cat to play him out.
Yeah, seriously.
but yeah, monster is long, but also
deep.
Deep. So in my mind, that's okay. That's perfectly fine. I don't care that it's not slapstick. I don't care that the animation isn't, I mean, because
it's not super detailed.
No, not at all. But I mean, also at the same time, you know, you could go as someone from Monster, like to a convention, and no one would get it unless they were other people who've seen the series, because it's more, like you said, very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So they wear normal clothes. There's no, you know, poofy tulle dresses or, you know, long twin tails. Granted, I do like that hairstyle. But, you know, it's down to earth because it's trying to show you something a little bit real and also at the same time a little sinister in reality.
It seems like it's a real story being told with using animation as the vehicle to tell it, as opposed to making an animated series and coming up with a story to tell.
Yeah. So that's why I really liked it, which is why I wanted to bring that up. Since this is a serious time in terms of Japan, I thought a serious anime was probably the better way to
go. Yeah, it makes sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, we're going to remind you guys that if you have the ability to help and lend support, please do so in any way that you can. Share with us what you're doing or what you're coming up with, or if you just have any thoughts that you want to share, if you have any anime series that you'd like to add to our recommendation list here, just shoot them over to us at mailbag@landofesh.com. We'll be happy to include them. Make sure that you check out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co, that is ESH.co, excuse me. The short address will bounce it along when you can check out the articles that are written every week. If you have any questions for us or about the articles, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes. Check us out. Subscribe. It's free.
That's right. If you want to make sure that you get our episodes the moment that we put them out on the web for consumption, then you'll do yourself the favor and subscribe in iTunes to our podcast by simply searching for Electric Sisterhood in the music store. Just do it. It'll be good for your soul.
I mean, if you don't have iTunes and have no desire to ever get it, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But you should be keeping your eye out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner. You won't be disappointed, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. We keep your nerd covered 7 ways from Sunday. So starting on Monday with brand new episodes of our podcast, on Tuesday you can get a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast hosted by King Baby Duck, where they talk about video games, sports, music, TV,
theater,
all kinds of entertainment.
Women.
Yeah.
Have they talked about women?
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, not a lot, but like a little bit.
Girls.
Not like that, but that's actually probably what they would use if they talked about.
Oh my god, girls. Dun, 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 dun. All I really want is girls. That'd be a good song too.
I fucking love the Beastie Boys. Anyway. So there's that, and then on Wednesday, to keep you covered on the gadget tip and technology front, there's all the stuff that's written about and the podcast of geekagro.com. And for the rest of the week, well, you can read all the stuff that we put together for you, the entire team here at the Land of Esh, by going to landofesh.com. You can check it all out very easily, as well as peep the latest issue of our magazine, which is out and available for purchase right now. Make sure that you're checking out all the stuff that we're putting together. You can also interact with us on our Facebook page, landofesh.com. So it's facebook.com/landofesh. Join us there, like us. You know, the giveaway is only viable until the end of the month, people. So if we don't hit the mark, we can't give it away. Or can we? So tell your friends, like us. Because it's awesome when you do that.
We're also on
the Twitters.
We deserve to be liked, I think.
Yeah, we do. We're actually on the Twitters. And I was smart enough and figured out how to actually make the list of the Land of Esh people not private anymore. So you can actually go to twitter.com/list/ninjasista and bam, see the group of us. everyone who makes up the Land of Esh. And I'm telling you right now, the entire list is a group of people that you absolutely want to follow. Great stuff on music, design, video games, everything nerdy you could think of.
We're and some panda about. Facts.
Some random panda facts.
Or a panda watch in case you lose me.
Yeah, because you do be getting lost sometimes.
I'm really lazy and I just
pandas
don't
do be falling off the grid, like, for reals.
Yeah, I know.
Like, for reals. It's not even funny. As well as from, you know, time to time, actual pictures of us.
Or so, food that we make.
Or food that we make and or food that we eat. Because
food that we make and then eat.
Yeah, because food is very important to us.
Yes.
It's life-sustaining. Just like our podcast.
It's sustenance.
It is. It really is.
But anyway.
So, with that, all the bases covered, what are you digging this week, Panda?
Believe it or not, I know I usually give three.
Yeah.
I really can only give one that goes in all three slots. Well, actually, no. I guess I could do it in three. I can break this down in three.
All right.
Dragon Age Awakenings, Dragon Age Origins, and Dragon Age 2. In that order.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't even need explanation.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say, wow.
Yep, no food, no warmth, just no. Dragon Age.
Just Dragon Age. Okay.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. So Dragon Age in all three slots, but three different variations mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the Dragon Age.
Yeah, I see that.
And your ship that you did?
I'm gonna start with Gunner Glasses. I've been using mine now for over a week, and I have to say that I have not had a single stress headache all week, and I've been stressed.
And I want to borrow those bad.
You can't have them.
I didn't say has. I said borrow.
Yeah. We'll see. So, I absolutely love them. If you are in need of some glasses because you sit in front of a screen for more hours than you really ought to in life, I highly recommend them. I'm absolutely loving both my playtime glasses as well as my sunglasses.
I have sunglasses for them, too.
It actually helps me with some of my night driving because I got the aviators, so it's only a light tint. What's really nice is that it cuts down on the glare coming off of
other
backlights. Yeah, and that, you know, for the travel that I make each day, makes a huge difference.
Got it.
So absolutely love these glasses. Also on the list of shit that I dig, I'm gonna go with Converse sneakers. There's some great custom Converse things that you can do, and Converse has actually recently expanded their line of what they are offering as far as Product Red shoes, which if you're familiar with Product Red line, some money is donated to AIDS research in Africa, and I absolutely love all the companies that come on board with the Product Red campaign and donate. So that absolutely is high up on my list. And the final thing is actually the OneLove.org organization, which is a fantastic charity, which the House of Marley actually sponsors and created and runs. And they're doing some amazing things as far as donating some of their time and services and funds to help support the relief efforts in Japan. So most of my shit that I'm digging this week is pretty serious things. And the final one was the SFX crew actually did a gaming marathon to help raise some money to support some of the relief efforts. And I just, in general, have to say that gamers are some shit that I dig. There were all kinds of various things going around this week, people sharing messages that were empowering on Twitter and on Facebook and jumping in to go to different events, both fundraising events or just, you know, awareness-raising events. And I have to say that I'm never more proud of the gaming community than in a time of crisis. And I wish that it was, you know, not just in times of crisis that we actually see the community rise. But I got to tell you guys, I'm just so proud of this community and to be a part of it. So that's the shit I'm digging right now.
Okay. That's really deep.
I know. And, you know, we
and
got
mine was so shallow.
No, well, no, we're just different places. That's all. Okay. But one thing can be said about this episode. It has length and depth. I'm Ninja Sister.
And delicious.
And we're out of here, people.
See you guys next week.
Alrighty.